Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my bluff.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. As you may already be aware, you're about to listen to a free on-air class in everything you ever wanted to know about dogs. If you're like me and you love living with dogs and you want to learn more about them, you've come to the right place. You'll hear specialists talk about a variety of subjects, including dog behavior problems, health issues, and common reasons dogs wind up in shelters or rescue. You'll hear authors speak on their favorite topics, and you'll listen to veterinarians discuss diseases and canine health issues. We've talked to a lot of trainers and behavior consultants about all sorts of challenging issues, and we've talked to people who just merely have favorite specific breeds of dogs. If you've missed any previous programs, or if you want to hear a show again, please go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show, and you'll see a list of podcasts showing all the topics we've talked about. Click on the subject of your choice and listen to my 30-minute shows. If you're a regular listener, you can rest assured you are becoming a well-educated pet parent to your canine companions. Today, I'll be speaking with Dr. Arthur Young. Dr. Young is a homeopathic veterinarian who is nationally known as a practitioner, lecturer, teacher, and author. He has over 5 decades of experience as a clinician, researcher, and instructor. Dr. Young currently resides in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and he conducts a business consultation practice, a busy consultation practice, and speaking schedule. Dr. Young and I will be talking about some wonderful homeopathic remedies called Bach flower essences. Many of you who have dogs that suffer from anxiety, aggression, fearfulness, and other emotional problems will benefit from learning about these very effective remedies that are safe for animals and humans alike. Before we talk to Dr. Young, please let me tell you about the services I offer in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Dr. Young. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us in the doghouse today.
It's my pleasure. Believe me, I'm so thrilled to death that such a program is available, and particularly for me to expound on what is such an important thing for the dog owners and the cat owners and horse owners and everybody owners to know about so they can keep their dogs and cats in good shape without having to have them medicated all the time.
All right. So in your practice, you work with animals to heal them, both physically and emotionally. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. That's the important thing. You can't heal them if you don't deal with the emotional part of it, if it's available, you know, to find out. Don't forget, our patients are nonverbal. They don't have a lot to say. They may do a lot of barking and meowing, but they don't have much that we can understand specifically.
Right.
And as a result, we don't have an opportunity to work with them in a way that they work with human beings. So the emotional part of treating animals is very important, though. The veterinarian has to be very astute in his observations and translate that over to its use in animals, because if you don't deal with emotions and stress and mentality, you're going to have a tough time getting anybody better.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So it is your preference to use homeopathic herbal remedies versus psychotropic drugs for problems like aggression, fearfulness, or separation anxiety?
Frankly, I don't use psychotropic drugs, ever.
Okay.
And don't plan on it.
All right, and tell us why.
The situation is this. If you suppress some of this behavior with psychotropic drugs, you may end up with organ failures eventually. You'll end up with problems possibly with the liver, the lungs, the kidneys. That's how the body will respond to the overuse of these drugs, or just the use of the drugs over a period of time. So drugs are not the answer when you're dealing with dogs, cats, etc., with emotional problems. You know, you'll see it out there today. You'll see Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
I see it all the time.
Right.
When people call me up about their animals, and it's just not the way to go. You take, for instance, the animals that have epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
and they'll start them out in phenobarbital, and then they'll go from, you know, I'm not going to make a list for you, but over a period of time, those animals will become more and more immune to the effect of these drugs, and before you know it, after a while, you're ending up with an animal who acts like a zombie.
Oh, my.
And that's not good.
No, it isn't.
In treating that, now, you know, one thing I want to explain to you, if I may, right off the top. As far as these Bach flowers, they've been around a while. They're called essences basically because they're extractions of 38. Now, there are more than that now, but the original grouping was 38 of these flowers. The twigs or the petals, just much like they would extract perfume in France, you see.
Okay.
And these essences, that's why they call them essences, and they will address every issue of the human condition. Now, these were originally produced for humans by a Dr. Edwin C. Bach,
mm-hmm.
who was a very, very fine London homeopathic physician,
mm-hmm.
back in the 1920s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been around for a long, long time for people, and I guess it must be probably within the last dozen years,
mm-hmm.
that veterinarians have started to become more involved with the use of these flower essences. Now, they are not truly homeopathic, yet they are like homeopathic remedies. Basically, they work on vibrations. All of these things, everything in the universe has a vibration, and the disease has a vibration. So that's what Dr. Bach worked with, the vibrational individuality of the various flower essences, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using them now for a long time, and in fact, I use Bach flowers on every single patient that I have. And why?
Wow.
Because every single patient that I have, one way or another, is stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to be overdrawn at the bank or have a credit card that you're in trouble to be stressed. Animals don't have to worry about that. But stress has got to do with just the fact that there's a disease going on.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the body is trying to respond to a given disease process,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, the body is stressed. It's acting abnormally. It's okay. Overacting or underacting, you
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
If any of these, as I go along here, if there's anything that I explain to you that isn't explained, please stop me.
I certainly will. And I would like to understand more about the emotional issues and what these remedies, how these remedies work on the dog. For example, let's say you have a dog that has a behavior issue involving being overly protective of the dog's resources. He's guarding his food, he's guarding his bones and his toys, he might be guarding his humans. How would you address that with a Bach flower remedy?
Well, first of all, you must understand that there's underlying health problems in most of these animals. So that what you're seeing is not just what will be addressed by the Bach flowers. You have to also address the underlying problems that create the disease in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to treat the whole animal, as they say in Latin, en toto.
Mm-hmm.
The Bach flower part of it is very important to me because I start them all out on the Bach flowers. You take, for instance, the animal that is, aggressive, and I had a case just recently. Well, he's had all kinds of problems, but within the last year, he got to the point that he was guarding his food, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He'd walk around looking over his shoulder whenever he was in the process of eating.
Right.
And he only became aggressive to his two stable mates, so to speak. There was another dog. There were two more dogs in the house.
Right.
And Jack was a French bulldog,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like around 8 years old. And he would snap at them and become very aggressive and guard his food. And also, the other thing he would do is he would become aggressive with the owner.
All right.
Who he loved dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is always at feeding time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was also a dog that had a history of bladder stones. And he had a history of skin disease. You know, he was a mess away.
Yeah.
And the emotional part of it played itself out as I've just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to find out what was at the bottom of his disease process in order to help him out. The Bach flowers could be used, and they could be used indefinitely, but I would prefer to try to address the basic pathology.
So would you then request that the owner have a multitude of blood work and tests done on the dog to figure out what the medical issue might be causing the emotional issue?
Whenever you're dealing with disease, you have to have a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these animals that come in are animals that are older. The geriatric animals are very common nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And those animals have got some chemistries, even though they may not be flagrant. If they're even borderline, mm-hmm. you have to address those issues in order for the body to respond
mm-hmm.
in a favorable way, not only the physical things that you see, but the emotional and the mental things that you see.
Mm-hmm.
So that in doing homeopathy, which is what I do, I have to establish what's going on for this animal mentally and emotionally. Now, that is not done in regular practice, in what they call allopathic medicine.
Right.
We do that in homeopathic medicine because you're treating the whole animal, mm-hmm. not just the physical symptoms that you see. Mm-hmm. Remember that the symptoms that you see are not the disease. Absolutely not the disease. They are the language of disease.
It
is the body responding to a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and it's saying help.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the doctor or the caregiver to address the issue that way, rather than just dumping them with all kinds of drugs and things of that nature, because it just doesn't work.
Dr. Young, if a dog has a behavior problem based in emotion, are you telling people then that there is always a physical or medical issue causing that emotional problem?
Very often. Nothing in this world, of course, is 100%. But very often, there is an underlying disease process that's been going on, possibly it's genetic,
mm-hmm.
right from the time of being born.
Right.
And you have to address that issue because you're not going to get the result that you want. Now you take, for instance, with Jack, with all of his stuff, with his bladder stones and with his skin diseases and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I put the Jack on Bach flowers, of course. And he did very well on it. He was also a bully. He was
mm-hmm.
a terrible bully.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that after him being treated and this, that, and the other, that Mercurius Vivus, that was a homeopathic remedy which worked on the underlying problem of the bladder stones.
Okay.
Don't forget, those things are uncomfortable.
Right.
And they affected the way, I mean, he felt lousy most of the time.
Right.
And as a result, he responded in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just saw this dog 2 days ago down in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was, just pouncing around and feeling good and easy to handle, no trouble.
Yeah.
But there was a time when he was a big pain.
Okay. All right. So
there you go. Now, don't forget, there are combinations of Bach flowers.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing, this is what I want you, this is what I'd like the listeners to do. There is a book out that they should see if they could purchase it. And they can probably get it, you know, through Barnes & Noble or one of those companies that can, you know.
Amazon.com would
Amazon,
be good,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is called Bach Flower Remedies for Animals.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's by Helen Graham and Gregory Vlamis.
Mm-hmm.
That's V as in Victory, L-A-M-I-S. And it is published by the, I don't know how to pronounce this, Findhorn or Findhorn Press.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're located in Florida. I have their email, and it's info@findhornpress.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Email is at info@findhornpress.com. And I'll tell you, this book is a Bible, and it's something that the layperson can absolutely understand.
So, Dr. Young, are you saying that it's possible for the layperson or the average pet owner to be able to use these remedies without a so-called prescription from a veterinarian?
Absolutely. These are over. These are available. The Bach flowers are available at, you take, for instance, Whole Foods.
Correct.
They have a wonderful department of
mm-hmm.
Homeopathic and holistic products.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to have a prescription, and you don't have to be a veterinarian to use Bach flowers.
Right. Okay.
Which is great.
Dr. Young, you
so
know...
so much that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, nowadays, Dr. Bach, he came up with 38, and he felt that the 38 remedies that he developed could take care of all the problems that he was confronted with. Nowadays, my gosh, there must be, I don't know, 100 different flower essences out there that can be purchased. I myself, I work with Dr. Bach's 38.
Okay.
But there are a lot more out there. You could Google Bach flower essences or remedies.
Right.
And
comes up with a lot of information. I've done it many, many times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Dr. Young, I wanted you to address one specific remedy, and you and I have talked about this before, and you know that I use it a lot, and it's called Rescue Remedy.
Oh, yes.
Please talk about that.
Rescue Remedy, the king of all.
I know it helps me with my clients and with myself. I mean,
you see, Rescue Remedy itself is a combination of five flowers.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and if you were to be in a situation where you could figure out how to use more than the Rescue Remedy, in other words, other flower essences entered into it.
Mm-hmm.
The Rescue Remedy counts only as one remedy.
Mm-hmm.
When you use Bach flowers, you ordinarily up to five, maybe six, can be used at the same time, mixed together.
Right.
Now, in the beautiful part about Bach flowers, if there's a remedy in there that's not indicated, it doesn't make any difference because it just doesn't have any effect on the animal at all.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about giving him the wrong medicine, so to speak.
I also was looking at a product for a dog, as a matter of fact, that is a resource garter, and I was going to ask you about the remedy that is under the heading of chicory.
Oh, yes. Chicory, I tell you something, chicory is fantastic because so many animals are like that. You take the dog or the cat that won't leave the owner alone, like they own them. And the cat's always in their lap, and the dog is always trying to get in the lap.
Mm-hmm.
And these animals are very protective, very possessive.
Right.
And they're jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And they sometimes do bad things because they are jealous.
Uh-huh.
Like urinating on, say, for instance, the owner brings another animal into the house.
They mark the property.
And they'll all of a sudden the owner finds that their pillow is damp.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because the cat peed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way of expressing resentment.
So
when I don't like the fact I've been the king of, for a long time, and all of a sudden you bring this little nothing in here,
right?
And that's how they act. Chicory is a big deal.
Okay.
And I use it.
Do you use that constantly in combination with Rescue Remedy?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then there's another one called Crab Apple.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh,
is
gosh,
that for the crabs? The crabby
crab
dog?
Crab apple is incredible. You have to know that in the book that I've just described to you all, Crab Apple has got about three or four pages.
Wow.
Just on, and it talks about how it's used in cats, how it's used in dogs, many times in sheep. It'll get into birds. Where the product has been effective.
Okay.
But Crab Apple, I use it. I mean, if you just use Crab Apple along with Rescue Remedy, in most of the animals that get sick, I'm not talking about desperately ill, but not feeling good,
mm-hmm.
you probably would have most of them feeling better pretty quick.
Okay.
How do you use these things? Well, you would take an ounce of water, bottled water,
mm-hmm.
go down to the health food store down there at the Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
buy a bottle of Rescue Remedy,
mm-hmm.
put four drops mm-hmm. of the Rescue Remedy into the bottle of water, and then say, add 4 ounces of Crab Apple.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean 4 ounces, four drops. Four drops of Crab Apple, 4 drops of Rescue Remedy, right into the water. Into this little bottle. Then, how do you apply it? Well, the way I apply it, I put the drops on the ear skin. I flap the ear over the top of the head, and there I have a plateau of skin, if you will, exposed, with no hair.
Right.
I put the drops there, four drops.
Mm-hmm.
It averages out, say, to four drops. I just wipe it in with my index finger.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It immediately goes into the circulation.
Mm-hmm.
How often, you might ask?
Yeah.
Well, on average, you would use something like that, say, three times a day. And then, say, for instance, you had a pussycat, which is a smaller animal. 2 or 3 drops, 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Large dogs, you'd probably want to use 5 or 6 drops.
Mm-hmm.
A horse, 12.
Oh, right, of course.
Because it's a bigger animal.
Right.
But the point is, though, that you can use them. I've used it. I had a dog once that was struck by a front-end loader. Can you imagine?
God.
He ended up losing his right front leg, but he was in such deep shock. He was in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, along with regular, shock treatment, I sat up all night long with the owner right in front of the cage and gave Rescue Remedy every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the beautiful part of this is you can't overdose the dog. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, you can't OD on flower petals.
Right.
and everybody says, well, yeah, oh my gosh, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I have found something very interesting, if I may say. I've been in practice. I've been in the field of veterinary medicine. Are you ready for this?
50 years.
60 years.
60.
And I'll tell you another thing I did. This past October, I took the New Jersey State Board for veterinary practice
mm-hmm.
licensing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an octogenarian now, and mm-hmm. I passed that board.
Wow.
Which goes to show you that you can teach an old dog
new
tricks. But the beautiful part of homeopathic medicine and also inculcating in it the Bach flowers, I don't have to have a hospital. See, I can practice homeopathy without having a building.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to get x-rays or if I have to get blood work or anything like that, everybody should have a primary care veterinarian.
Right.
Does the usual stuff.
Right.
I just send them over there. They send the results back to me, and off we go.
So most of the work that you do with your clients and for and your patients is by phone?
Absolutely. I have clients in Jerusalem, in New Zealand, in Australia, and it doesn't make any difference because whatever I have to go, whatever I have to get, in addition to what I can glean from my conversation with the owner, I can get from the primary care vet and just put it all together. And I've been around long enough that I've seen pretty much not everything, but a lot of stuff. And I'll have people send me a photograph over the email. They'll send me a picture of the lesion, of the tumor, or of the sore, or the animal in general, whatever.
Right.
So you see, it's very effective and very doable. And now, I have to tell you about this one. This is great. I've done a lot of lecturing around the country, and I've developed a certain protocol, a certain format. One of the things that is really gets my heart is the boarding nightmare.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where these animals are taken to a boarding kennel.
Right.
And number one, the first thing, you're not going to get in here unless you get vaccinated.
Correct.
Now, you may have been vaccinated last week, but you're going to get vaccinated again.
Right.
And so there's the vaccine situation, but the animal is put in a cage, we'll say, and it's housebroken, and is used to being able to go outside to go to the bathroom. The kennel closes at 7 o'clock at night. They come back at 7 o'clock the next morning, and the animal has had to sit there cross-legged all night long trying to hold it in.
Right.
And then sometimes, and a lot of times, they can't.
Right. It's very, very stressful.
It's like going to a nice hotel and having the toilet overflow.
Right.
Terrible.
Sure it is.
Well, what do you think happens with those, Renee? They get vindictive. They get angry.
Right, of course.
And they don't like it. And so what happens? They, when they get home, they it doesn't necessarily show up right away, but within a week or two, diarrhea all over the place.
Right, because they're
vomiting.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So
I know what you're talking about.
That's the nightmare of boarding. And I call the ride in the car to the boarding kennel, the road to perdition.
Because
boy, don't you know they know?
Yeah,
they're behaviorists. You know these animals
are
so sensitive; they can guess anything, even before you make plans for your vacation.
Yeah, Dr. Young, I don't want to get too far gone here because we don't have all that much time. I want everybody to know where they can contact you.
Give me that again, please.
I want everybody to know how they can contact you.
Very simply, website. I have a website, which is homeopathyanimals.com.
Right.
Okay.
Uh huh.
That's number one. Number two, my email is Doc Appleseed. That's docappleseed@comcast.net.
Okay. And a phone number?
And the phone number is 856-437-6524.
Great. Well, listen, I want to ask you a question. Would you be interested in rejoining us in the doghouse at some time to talk about medical issues and other veterinary issues that you take care of?
Absolutely.
I'd love to have you come back, and I'd love to also explore more about the remedies. I think that, you know, we can discuss this at several times throughout the year because we don't know who's listening, and we want to make sure to reach everybody to let them know how effective and safe these products are. And it's worth all of our while to learn more about them, and I can't thank you enough for being here with us today. And I hope you have a great day, and we're going to be in touch.
Well, I thank you very much for the opportunity, and it's a great thrill for me to share this information.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Duke, settle down. I just want to let everybody know, if you have children or grandkids, you'll want to listen to us next week. We'll be talking about some problems that come up when there are kids and dogs living under the same roof. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you later.
Who?